to be filled with the Spirit of God in relation to the family, parent-child relationship. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. The Lord is the only one who can build our house. Now the question is, how is the Lord going to build our house? He has given to us the Word of God. And because it is the Word of God, and when you use the Word of God to instruct your children, and the Word of God is the one that guides and rules your home, and not your opinions, and not your self-will, and not your own ambitions, that's how the Lord will build your house. The Lord has given to us His precious Word, and that's where the foundation must be, and that's where the secret is. If you choose to do otherwise, the Lord warns us, it is vain. You're not going to succeed, you're going to fail. It is vain for you to rise up early. You may wake up very early and do your best, and you can sit up until very late at night. You're going to eat the bread of sorrow because it's going to be laborious, it's going to be difficult, and you will not succeed. It is vain. What we are going to consider is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to verse 4. Verses 1 to 3 would be the hallmark of a Christian child. Verse 4, the hallmark of a Christian parent. And therefore, when we as parents study Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 3, this is the target, this is the goal. This is the target, this is the goal that you want your child to become. You and I, if you do not have any goal or aim, you're going to bring your child or children up any way you like. And I'm sure all of us, especially today's moms and dads, you have a particular aim and goal. Parents, some of them say that, well, our aim and goal is that by whatever means possible, my child must go through university. And this is the aim. And so they will do their best to make sure that this aim is accomplished. And so some parents in Singapore, I'm not sure about here, they'll send their children to preschool. All right? So now you have preschool before kindergarten. So children, 2, 3, maybe even younger, they will be sent to school and they pay big bucks. I don't know how and what this 2, 3-year-old child is going to learn, but anyway, the parents will send them. So they will have an advantage over the other nursery children at kindergarten. And then they will prepare and make sure that when it is time for them to get into the primary school stage, Singapore government has certain guidelines as to what and who should get priority. And so there are certain schools that parents think that if they can get their child into this school, with the kind of system, with the kind of teachers, this school is very well known to produce super brainiacs. And so they will take whatever means possible if they can afford it. One of the rules is the parent must live within how many kilometers from the school. So if they can afford it, they'll buy a house or a bungalow, whatever it is, within this 1 or 2 kilometer range. Or if not, then the mother will contribute and help in the school for the next 3 years. So by the time the 3rd year ends, the child will now be ready to apply for primary school. So this child of mine will have an advantage over the others and so on. So they will do whatever it takes to make sure that they get into university and graduate. Because whatever it is, my aim is that they must have a university degree. There are some parents who are like that. I know some of them. And they have a lot of unlearning before they can learn. Because this is exactly what Psalm 127 warns us not to do. You are not building your home based upon the Lord's criteria. The Lord is not building your home. You are building your own home, thinking that if they get a university degree, they are going to have many doors open for them in the society, And then they can get into a good job, and the good job will bring them big bucks, and the big bucks will afford them all kinds of luxury, and then maybe with that kind of luxury, they can take care of mom and dad when mom and dad retire. So therefore, mom and dad has a very selfish, hidden agenda, isn't it? Because at the end of it, it is for the parents' personal benefit, and they are doing it at the expense of the child's life. And they think that if they get into a very well-paid job, they will be considered as successful parents. Where in the Bible do you find that a successful parent is measured in terms of the size of the bank account or some kind of address or how many bedrooms, ensuite bedrooms you have in your home or the kind of cars you drive? Where in the world do you find this kind of criteria when it comes to God's definition of a godly mom and dad? If you have the wrong kind of target, wrong kind of aim for your child, you're going to ruin your child's life. Please understand, it is very important. God has given to us, this is how you must focus and aim your child. This is what God says, a definition of a successful parent. At the end of your parenting, your child must honor you. That's it. Train your child up that the child, when they grow up, they will honor you. First and foremost, please understand your child or children, they do not belong to you. God tells us in verse 3 of Psalm 127, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. They don't belong to you. They belong to God, and God entrusted them to you, hoping that you, as a Christian father and mother, from day one, when this child is given to you with the indwelling of the Spirit of God in you, and hoping that you will pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit, whereby now you want the Spirit of God to help you, lead you, and guide you to be the best Christian father, Christian mother, according to Holy Scriptures. That's why God entrusted you with these children. Because God tells us that the only gift on this earth that I can give to you, that you can bring with you to heaven, are your children. Not your car, not your house, not anything that is of this earth that I give to you, but only your children. And therefore, it is your responsibility and duty to bear in mind that when you look at your child, your children, don't see them as yours. They are not yours, and they will never be yours. Because the moment you die, you're going to leave them behind. And if they do not know Christ by the time you die, you have failed. And if God is merciful to them, somewhere along the line, God may send somebody else. Not you, not your dad, not you, not dad, and not mom. Somebody else to give them the gospel when you have failed. And then perhaps, by the grace and mercies of God, your son, your daughter may accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And then you'll be shocked and surprised to see them in heaven one day. This is the target and aim that you have to work toward. Now, I know that some of us may have missed the boat, in inverted commas, right? Because our children are all big and grown up, isn't it? Big and grown up. So what am I going to do? Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So, bring your children up so that when they grow up, they will learn to obey you, honor you. Children, they are like soft, pliable clay when they are born. They have no character. They have no knowledge of what is right, what is wrong. They have the sinful nature. They are born with the sinful nature. And now the Lord says, this child is now in your hands. Please understand, you do not have a second try. What you do with this child right now, please do it well, because there is no start all over again. Whatever mistake you make, it's going to remain in the life of this child permanently. If you do not shape him and mold him into the image of Christ while they are still very soft and pliable in your hands, You're going to shape them and mold them into the image of the world. You only have two choices, image of Christ or image of the world. Now, if you are not a believing parent, you only have one option, and that is the image of the world. For some of us, we may have parents who are not believers. This do not apply to them. They can't shape and mold their child up in the image of Christ because they themselves do not know Christ. But if we are parents, Christian parents, this is what you must do with your children. Shape them and mold them, teaching them what is right and what is wrong. So when they throw tantrums, when they are naughty, right from day one, they may not know how to discern and decide, but you have to tell them, this is not right, stop it. You have to, and as they grow older, when they are able to receive the rod of correction, you have to use the rod of correction. Well, but I have read books, you know. Certain books say we cannot use the rod of correction. You sure? Cannot use the rod of correction? Children are to grow up and obey you. If you do not do it when they are pliable, you're going to lose them forever. And children, if your parents are not believers, and if your parents have failed, you cannot use their failure as an excuse not to obey them. The reason is the same as when we talk about the Christian wife and the Christian husband. They may not have said the marriage vows, but after they become Christians, the marriage vow which they have not made may not apply, but because they now have the indwelling of the Spirit of God, they now are able to be filled with the Spirit of God, they can be Christian wives and Christian husbands, even though they may not have said the vow. But because God has saved them, they can conduct themselves now in a relationship between husband and wife that is God-honoring. Likewise, this instruction, children, obey your parents in the Lord, is not an option. It is a command whereby you must continue to do until the day you die or until your parents do not exist on this earth anymore. You never stop obeying your parents. That means listen attentively and submit. Please bear this in mind. Obey them in the Lord. That means whatever your parents ask you to do, as long as it is according to scriptures, please obey. Submit. Don't fight, don't retaliate. Submit. Why? Because this is right, that's it. It is the right thing to do. God makes no mistakes. God chose your parents for you. It does not matter whether they are good parents or bad parents. God chose your parents for you. You don't obey them because they have been good to you. You don't obey them because they are more educated than you. You don't obey them because they have been so nice to you. You obey them because they are your parents. Whether they lease you out or farm you out to your uncle and auntie to bring you up because they have too many children and they are too poor, they could not afford to take care of all eight of you. And so maybe one of you will have to be looked after by the uncle and the auntie, and then you have been ill-treated by uncle and auntie because their own children are treated much better than you. And so when you grow up, you're bitter against mom and dad because out of the eight, why must I be the one that is farmed out to my uncle and auntie to be brought up and my life has been so miserable? That kind of bitterness must be erased because now you are a child of God. The Spirit of God has indwelled you. You are filled with the Spirit of God. You must ask the Holy Spirit to fill you, to lead you, to guide you, to take away all this bitterness. Why? Because the moment you put God in the equation from the day you were born, all this bitterness will ebb away. God makes no mistakes. God gave you your parents. God gave you your siblings. God was the one in sovereign control to allow your parents to farm you out or lease you out, whatever you want to call it, to be brought up by your uncle and auntie, to shape you, to mold you, to be who you are right now. Make no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. Because God chose for you your parents, you have to honor them because it is right. And you do it in the Lord. Don't have blind obedience. It is sad when we read in the papers of terrible parents getting their children to shoplift. It has happened. The parents end up in jail. The child had to be fostered out. The court did not punish the child because the child was below the responsible age. Sometimes if nobody wants a child, no relative wants a child, the child will have to go to some home because the parents were derelict. But that does not give the child, when the child grows up and becomes a Christian, to disobey and dishonor the parents. As long as what the parent asks you is not against the scripture, please obey. Obey cheerfully, happily. That means you submit. Why? It is right. That's it. And because you are a child of God, you always want to do what is right. Remember verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness. So you will always want to do what is right because this is now part of your new nature. You can't help it but to want to do what is right. It is one of the key fruit of the Spirit of God that is now found in every Christian, every child of God. It should be found in you. And therefore, do it because it is right. You know what is the procedure of growing up? When you are very young, whatever mom and dad says, you just do. As you grow older, you become more and more aware of things, and they call it the teenage years. Teenage years are the perhaps very difficult years because you try to be more independent, but you are not independent enough because you still got to ask mommy and daddy for pocket money. You still stay at home. You still require mom to help you with the laundry and the ironing. And so, but you want to be independent. So mom and dad still tell you things and you don't like it because you think you are old enough and you are very independent. But you're not there yet. And so when the parents look at you, you're not there yet. So they still tell you what to do, what to dress, how to dress, what not to wear, what to wear. And so you get irritated. True? Isn't it? When you are younger, not an issue. You look at all these little ones. You want to dress them in whatever color, whatever pants or dress, or they just wear. As they grow older, you realize that it's a little harder. The children will begin to have a mind of their own. And then as they grow even older, their mind literally become their own and they stop listening completely. You must understand what stage you are in. You must be very conscious of the stage that you are in. You may be very mature in your studies, you may know a whole lot. But never, never forget, your parents will always be your parents. Never despise them, never talk behind their backs. Always obey them. And the way to obey them is always in the Lord. The more you keep close to the Lord, the easier it is for you to obey. The farther you are away from God, the more difficult it is for you to obey because you obey in the Lord. So even sometimes when your dad is unreasonable, he comes home because he's so stressed by work and he tells you to do this and do that and you get upset, don't. Calm down, quieten down. Yes, Dad, I will obey you. You prepare to do that? Do it for Jesus' sake. Even if your mom and dad are unbelievers, all the more you should. Because they need to see Christ in you. They need to see the new you. They need to see the transform you. Before that, you talk back and you raise your voice at your mom and dad. But because of Jesus Christ in your heart, you want the Spirit of God to help you, then you pray, Lord, please help me. I know you can help me. Help me not to talk back to my mom and dad. Help me to always obey them because it is the right thing to do. And I want to do everything that is right because I am now a child of God. And the best way to do it is to honor them. The difference between obedience and honor is, in the case of honor, the Bible tells us that it means that you have a fixed value of your mom and dad, because your mom and dad belongs to you. The word honor means you have a value that you place on your mom and dad. That's what it means, to honor. So you ask yourself, what is the value that you place on your mom and dad? Now this value, as far as God is concerned, is mom and dad parent. You don't lower it. Your mom and dad, they are not your buddies, they are not your friends. It is shocking when children relate to mom and dad as if they are buddies. They are not your friend. They are mom and dad. Don't ever forget that. You may grow up and you be mature and you may be taller than your dad, taller than your mom. You may be more educated, you earn more money. All this is beside the point. It's irrelevant. They are mom and dad. So the value that you must always fix in your mind regarding your parents is that they are your parents appointed for you by God. And as long as they are on this earth, God wants you to honor them and to have the highest regard for them. And this is the first commandment with promise. Very important to remember. Not the first of the Ten Commandments, but the first of the Ten Commandments that comes with a promise. And of course, we're going to look at the promise in verse 3. You have to obey them, and the best way to obey them is first to honor them. Your mental mind estimation of who they are to you. That is the key. You have a low view of them in your mind. You're going to disobey them. You're going to disregard what they say. And please do not measure your mom and dad according to their qualifications. Your mom and dad may be the ones who taught you 1, 2, 3, A, B, C when you were young. They may have only primary school or secondary school education. Now that you are in university, you're in post-university, you have a graduate degree, and you have all these big degrees, and you can even design the rocket to send somebody to the moon. That does not give you the right to lower your estimation of mom and dad. You don't rank them and measure them according to qualification. You don't tell your mom that, "Mom, what paper qualification do you have?" Don't you ever talk to your mom that way, because it reveals what is your attitude and your mind pertaining to your mom and dad. The word honor there means the value that you place on your mom and dad. And it will be seen by how you react and respond and how you speak to them. Very revealing. The highest the honor, the more respectful will be your words and your behavior and your conduct. And parents, this is what you must aim toward when you bring up children, that they will learn to obey you and they will honor you and have the highest regard for you. Please bear that in mind. They are your parents. You're not going to have them with you forever. As long as God allows them to remain on this earth, it is your privilege and your right to obey them and to honor them. You know, sometimes I have to counsel church members whose parents are in their evening years. And the parents who are in the evening years, some of them are so sickly, and some of them, because the disease has affected their mind and their brains, that they can't even recognize their own children. They have to be looked after, they have to be washed, they have to be brought to the toilet, they have to be cleaned up, and it is difficult. And so some of them, they just simply cannot take it. And so they have to be taught the Word of God, reminding them this verse, honor them. Now is the best time for you to honor them. We always teach children to honor their parents. Children do not know how to honor parents. Do you know why? Why do you think God tell the wives, submit to your own husbands? This was the wife's weakness. Why do you think God has to tell the husband, love your wife? This was the husband's weakness. Why do you think God has to put into the Ten Commandments, this particular commandment, to honor your father and your mother? Why? Because that is our problem. That's our weakness, isn't it? So God knows. That's why God has to put a command. God has to command children to honor parents. God did not say, parents, love your children. Don't have to, because parents are prepared to die for their children. And many have. They live for their children. They work hard. They slog out there to give the best to their children. No need to give a command. But children, on the other hand, they do not appreciate. They take things for granted. That's why God has to command children to honor parents. That means you must have the highest value placed in your heart and your mind for your mom and your dad. Don't let this diminish. Don't look at your mom and dad with the eyes of the world. Don't look at them based upon worldly criteria. The moment you start to do that, your estimation of them will drop. It's only a matter of time. We have to remind our members, it is your honor and your privilege to take care of your mom and dad now that they can't take care of themselves. When young people get married, you know, even the simple invitation card that you send out is very important. So during premarital counseling, we have samples on how to draft invitation cards. This is how you do it, the biblical way to honor them on this very important day of your holy matrimony. Give them that you honor and respect. Don't put your name and your girlfriend's name together with parents inviting so-and-so. That is dishonoring. Put down the parent's name. Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so together with Mr. So-and-so, inviting so-and-so to the holy matrimony of your name and your girlfriend's name. That's how you should do it. The name of the parents doing the invitation, not you together with your parents. This is the modern style. This is the modern way of putting yourself on the same level as mom and dad. And that is our problem. That is the problem with our society, and sadly, that is the problem in our churches. Don't let that happen in Sydney BP Church. Don't talk about going to the mission field. Don't talk about going to distant country and then sacrifice this, sacrifice that. You start at home, your Jerusalem. You call yourself a Christian, show it by your attitude toward your mom and dad. Have the highest value, the honor, that you give to your mom and dad. You look at them with the eyes of the Lord. They are chosen for you by God. And God makes no mistakes. And it is your honor and privilege to do so while they are alive. See, when you were little babies, they clean up your mess, right? You look at the little baby, they can't do anything. You've got to feed them, wash them, clothe them, bring them to the toilet, clean up their mess, and buy all kinds of things for them. And they just don't know how to look after themselves. They're told they could be helpless. Your mom did that. And the next day, your dad had to go to work, but because you are feverish, he cannot sleep, because if he sleeps and then the fever just goes off the chart, something might happen to your brain, and so he'll rather stay awake, seated next to you, knowing that next morning he had to go to office, but he's prepared to sacrifice his sleep just to make sure that the fever will break so that you will not be affected in any manner that is detrimental to your long-term well-being. And they've done that many times. And now when your parents are old, they can't take care of themselves because of diseases and illness, it's now your privilege and your honor. You know that life is one big cycle? You know that, right? Do you know what's the difference between a baby and an elderly person who cannot take care of himself? The elderly person is heavier and not so cute. It's true, isn't it? Right? Because the baby is helpless, now that because he has grown up, and the grandpa, grandma, that can't look after themselves. Now it's your honor, your privilege to look after them the way that they look after you when you were young. And that is God's privilege, because God allowed them to live on this earth for you to care for them. I told some of the church members, I wish I could take care of my mom and dad, but I couldn't. The Lord took them home. I couldn't if I want to. I couldn't take care of my dad because my dad passed away. I was 17 years old. I was not even a believer. I did not know how to, even if I want to. But you have this privilege and this honor. Count every day as an honor and a privilege. It will be difficult, but don't murmur and complain. They never did when they look after you. You have no idea. You're oblivious, right? They don't tell you. They don't keep a record. They don't count. They don't have any logbook detailing how much, how much, how much, how much. They just do it because they love you. There was no little black book recording how many minutes and how many seconds, how many hours I stay up late. I did not sleep because of this little brat. None of these things. They just did it because they just love you unconditionally, sacrificially. Love of parents. And now that you have grown up, you think you know better? Yeah, you have a better education. You are smarter. You have a better IQ and so on. That has nothing to do with you honoring or dishonoring your mom and dad. You honor them because God says you must. Number one, it is right you obey them. Number two, God commands you to honor them, and you have the highest value when you regard them. This is the first commandment with promise. God makes no mistakes. And what is that promise? You look at the promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, please do not interpret this verse in this way. If I honor my mom and dad, I will live up to 85 plus years old. So that means anyone who die young, 10 years old, die. Wow, must be very, very naughty, dishonor mom and dad. Right? No, I mean, right? Live long, isn't it? Now, you know this is a quotation from the Old Testament. Now, you look at the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20. Okay? You're going to find a little difference between the Ten Commandments and what is quoted by the Apostle Paul. Both are correct, by the way, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 3. Now, you look at what the Bible says in Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So, in verse 12 of Exodus 20, God gave this commandment to Israel with reference to the promised land, not the whole earth, the promised land, right? The land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that is the promised land. But in the case of verse 3 of Ephesians 6, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so now it is the whole earth. It's no longer the promised land. So there is a little change. So in other words, this commandment with promise simply means this. In the case of the Old Testament for Israel, when the children learn to honor parents, Israel will have a society of honorable men and women. True? Because the very basic unit of every society is the family. And so imagine in Israel, in the promised land, every child in every Israelite home honors mom and dad. That means the society will be God-honoring. And that means when Israel is God-honoring, God will not allow Israel to be exiled. Because God told Israel, when you obey my word, nothing on this earth can take you out of the land of promise. No enemy, no drought, no famine. And not only will the enemies and drought and famine and bugs and diseases afflict you, I will make sure that all of you will be fruitful. That means obedience comes blessing, disobedience comes curses. You will find this in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. These two long chapters are divided easily into two halves. First half, obedience and the blessings are listed. Second half, disobedience, the long list of punishment and curses are listed. And the final climax of God's punishment upon Israel is, if you still don't want to obey, after I send prophets, I send drought, I send famine to discipline you, to stop you from sinning further, you still refuse, culmination, I will take you out of the land of promise. I will remove you from the land of promise. And God did. They entered into 70 years of captivity. Now in the case of Ephesians 6, 1-3, God is talking about the church. God is talking about us. We don't have one localized promised land. Ours is the world. And so when the world have families that honor parents, children who honor parents, that means the society will be God-honoring. They may not even be Christians, but if they learn how to honor the parents, the society will be godly. Then God says, I will not destroy this earth. You can remain long on this earth as people. It's not about individual, in other words. It doesn't mean that if I honor mom and dad, I will be protected, there'll be no cancer, I will live at least 70 years. It does not mean that. What it means, therefore, by way of application is this. You want God to bless Sydney BP Church? Sydney BP Church, like any society, is made up of, comprised of all the families combined together. The families in Sydney BP Church are the basic units that made up Sydney BP Church. The church is not the building. The church would be the people. It always has been and it always will be. So you make up the church. When you honor your parents, you will have a church that is honorable and God will be pleased. Simple. So do you want God to bless your church? Do you want God to be pleased with Sydney BBC? It depends on you. Depends on your relationship with your mom and your dad. You learn to honor them, have the highest estimation and value placed upon them. that you will obey them, that you will respect them. Don't talk behind their backs. Don't call your dad, hey, to your friend, hey, my old man, my old man last night. What old man? He is your dad, not your old man. Then what? Mom is the old woman. You see, this kind of disrespect. Well, because they didn't hear, it's okay. It's not for mom and dad to hear. You think God is deaf? This is between you and God is not deaf. You think God will be pleased with you? You come home and you show some kind of hypocritical obedience and honor, and then out in school and in the absence of your mom and dad, the true colors come and you talk bad about them and you talk nasty things about them. Don't you ever do it. One of the things that we tell our children who, you know, young people, they have Facebook, and then Facebook, handbook, knee book, feet book, all kinds of book, right? Now they have Instagram, right? Not Instagram, Instagram. One thing we tell our children, the rule. You want to put pictures of yourself, whatever it is, never, never put anything that will humiliate the family. Never put anything that will humiliate mom and dad, not even your brother or your sister. Don't ever, ever do that. The moment we find out, and the moment you do that, you will be disciplined. Please remember that. Don't humiliate anybody. You want to publicize your life, what you do, you want to share with your friend, these are the modern ways of doing it, we understand. But make sure there are rules and regulations that you must comply and you do not cross. You do not humiliate mom and dad, whatever you put up on the Facebook. There is fun, there is game, by all means. But don't cross the line. Don't humiliate mom and dad using the cover of, it's only for fun, dad, it's only a joke. Don't you ever, ever joke at your parents' expense. Please don't do it. Honor them. Have the highest regard for them. You want the Lord to bless the church? You want the Lord to bless you? God says, start with your parent-child relationship. Are you prepared? You can't. God says, if you are born again, you have been baptized with the Spirit of God. Yes, God knows you can't. But the Spirit of God who lives in you can. You pray for God to fill you with the Spirit, to humble you, to teach you, and you will. You will succeed. This is the power of God that now is in you, that is able to help you do things that you, with your own strength, is impossible to do. God is able to turn you around and help you. There is nothing He cannot do. He will not ask you to do something that He knows is impossible for you to do. He commands you to do it. That means He knows you can, because He will be there to help you, to mold you, to teach you, to guide you. Even if your parents have failed you, you don't fail God and you don't fail them now. You have no excuse, no justification. Don't put any blame. Don't point any fingers. You are now a child of God. Whatever has happened, please understand that God is sovereign. And your God has used your parents to shape you, to mold you to who you are right now, a child of God. Study God's word. You find it weak and you find it difficult, pray and ask God to help you. Ask the Spirit of God to fill you, to give you the strength, the humility, and the wisdom to do it. Start right now. We tell children, once you grow up, once you start work, you honor them by giving them an offering every month. But they don't need, that's not the point. Whether they need it or not, that's not the point. And don't wait for them to ask. You give out of love, cheerfully, from your heart. Give to your parents. You know, there were some parents in the time of Christ. Some children in the time of Christ. They make the word of God null and void by what they did. In the Old Testament, if things are devoted to God, they can't give it to any man. And so there were children in the time of Christ who made secret deals with the priests and the Levites. Okay, this amount, we arrange, okay, is dedicated to God. And so therefore, mom, dad, I'm sorry, I don't have anything left, it's dedicated to God, sorry. And because of the secret arrangement they made with the priests and the Levites, they get back a portion of it. They just simply do not want to honor their parents. They just don't want to give. And they did things like that. And so Jesus had to expose them and rebuke them. You call yourself priests and Levites. You call yourself children of God. And this is what you do? Don't you blame God. Say, well, we honor God. We don't honor parents. Don't you ever do that. You know, there are some young people, they are so busy and involved in church work that they neglect their duties at home. Do you know that? They're prepared to wash the toilet in the church, but not the toilet in their house. Why? You start at home. You obey your parents. You have chores to do. Do your chores. Don't say, well, I'm going to church. I got YF. I got this young adults meeting. You do your chores first. Don't use your service at home as an excuse not to do your chores at home. You don't say, well, I want to obey the leaders in the church. You obey your parents first. Don't talk about obeying God and obeying God and obeying your church leaders without first obeying your parents. Start at the right spot, your Jerusalem. Don't talk about Judea, Samaria, uttermost part of the world. Start with Jerusalem. Young people, please do that. Parents, verse 4 is for you. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now remember, parents, if you don't bring your children up properly, according to what God has targeted and God wants you to aim toward, teach them when they grow up to obey you and to honor you. You use some other aim and target and they arrive at those worldly aims and targets that you have zoom so zealously toward, you're going to pay the price. And when they dishonor you, when they just chuck you one side, when they find you a burden and just want you to just die off, don't blame them completely. You are not guiltless. There was this parents in our church. They're pretty well off. The children are overseas. The father had been diagnosed with cancer. The mother was very sad and she was crying and she was talking to me after service and she was crying even while she was talking in front of everybody in the church. So I prayed with her. Then the father, I think maybe in denial or whatever, he traveled trying to find treatment. The daughter says, the disease is so far gone, there's nothing anybody can do. So the mother called the son back and asked and told the son, Dad is dying, come home. And so he came home. Then he said to the dad, and to the mom, I mean, I'm back now. It's been a few days. Why is Dad still alive? Why is he not dead? I'm not kidding. Then he left. Then the dad went overseas, still very sickly. He died overseas. So a few of the ladies of our church accompanied the wife overseas. They cremated the body. They brought the body back. They told the son. The son, okay, dad is gone. That's it. Didn't bother to fly back, nothing. And so before the father passed on, the father said to the mom, to the wife, after I die, just cremate my body and then the ashes, just throw it into the sea. If you don't feel like throwing anywhere, just flush it down the toilet. You know how tragic, how sad it is? Yeah, lots of money. Live in a nice, beautiful house. Yeah, lots of money. Children will have lots of money too, probably. But this is the result. You pay the price. This kind of ungrateful son. How come dad is not dead yet? How dare he even think such a thing, isn't it? It's a shameful thing to even think about such a thing, then to utter it out to the mom. You think the dad doesn't know? How do you think the dad feels when you have a son like this? You brought the child up, you nurture and nurture and nurture, and this is the result. Parents, please be very mindful and careful. You only have one try in bringing up your child. Please follow the biblical guidelines. You do not know what to do? You study the book of Proverbs. Do you know that every Jewish home, especially Orthodox Jewish home, when a baby is in the mother's womb, they start playing the book of Proverbs. That means they record it. Somebody will read the book of Proverbs, of course, in Hebrew, and then they'll play it. Just recite it throughout the whole house, day and night, the book of Proverbs, 31 chapters. In those days, they have no tape recorder, no DVD. They will read. They will read, they will recite the 31 books. The 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. Because inside the book of Proverbs, you have instructions on how to bring up children. For parents, all in there. How to do it from infancy all the way to maturity. Now, if you don't want to, you're going to read some other books, you're going to find some other ways to do it. Remember Psalm 127. Except the Lord built the house. You labor in vain. You can wake up early in the morning, sleep late at night, and you're going to fail. And the way that God will build your family up is through God's word. And it is all that you don't want it, it is your loss. Do not provoke your children to wrath. Teach them, guide them. Now, when they are young, you can't provoke them. So the idea of provoking means they're already old enough to reason, right? I mean, when they are 3-4 years old, how to provoke them to wrath? They don't even know what you're doing. They don't know. So the idea of provoking them to wrath means they're old enough to know. Now, how does a father provoke the child to wrath? Now, the prohibition here, of course, is stop action in progress. That means some fathers in the church in Ephesus were doing it, and now Paul wrote to them and tell them, please stop. Stop provoking them. It's like poking them. Keep on poking them, poking them, poking. That's how you provoke. So it can be done through words. It could be keep on nagging, keep on nagging, keep on nagging. Or you can just simply say things that are inconsequential just to irritate your children. Please don't do it. See, when your children are grown up, now you have grown-up children in the house, you have grown-up parents in the house, and sometimes parents forget that the child is grown up. And when the child is grown up, they will have grown-up problems, grown-up difficulties, grown-up struggles. They're no longer teenagers with only school homework to contend with. Now they have adult problems to contend with. Please understand them now as adults. Yes, they are still staying in your roof, under your roof, they're still staying in your own house, and it's still their house, and they have to do housework and so on as you assign them, and they will try their best to obey, right? You must try your best to obey. But however, please also see your children as having grown up, and they also have struggles out in the working world. And they also perhaps have assignments that are beyond the normal office hours, and so they have many other hours and things to do. And on top of that, you still assign them housework, so they will try their best to do it. If they do not do it, don't keep on nagging, 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 nagging. You're going to provoke them, and they can get angry, they're going to get upset, and they will say to themselves, I can't wait to get out of the house. Please, remember, parents, the best testimony you can, please make sure husband-wife relationship is according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 33. That is the most important. Okay? Most important, don't be a bad testimony to your children. Because if you are a bad testimony, everything else will fall apart. Somehow, fathers are the primary candidates in provoking their children. That's why fathers are mentioned there. So that will be parents, the father's weakness. So fathers, please be very conscious. Don't provoke them until they get mad and get angry. And children, on your part, please obey. If you find that it is difficult, talk to your dad, talk to your mom, explain to them, I have such an important assignment to do in my workplace and the deadline is this date. I need the time, mom, dad, can I please postpone it for a while? Talk to them. Explain to them. Tell them. Okay, don't let them jump to conclusions as if you don't care. This is also your house. Don't do that. Understand. They will understand. You explain to them. Mom and dad, please do not provoke them to wrath. That is the negative exhortation. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the nurture. The word nurture literally means to discipline toward correction. Not just punishment, discipline toward correction. That means to discipline in a manner to change a wrong or sinful or bad behavior. That's what it means. It's like the conduct of a tutor. So you use your discipline to correct. Please understand, your child. Your child is born very cute. Now, every child is cute, all right? Parents will consider the child is cute. Fine. But bear in mind, the Bible says they are also totally depraved. They are full of sin. They don't know what is right and what is wrong. And before you know it, when they throw tantrums, they are really exhibiting their sinful nature. Now is the best time for you to direct and guide them. If you see them exhibiting their sinful nature and you don't do anything and you make excuses for them, you think your child is stupid? The child is very cunning. Whenever I misbehave, my mom and dad will make excuse for me. And so throughout their entire life, they will just behave badly and they will make excuses for themselves because mom and dad may not be in the picture, but I just make excuses. So when they go to work, when they make a blunder, they make a mistake, instead of changing and correcting and admitting that they have done wrong, they just make excuses. Anyone who makes excuses for wrongdoing, for sinful habits, for sinful actions, they are not going to change. Don't make excuses for your children. Start from day one. Please, you know what is right and wrong. They don't. Tell them, teach them what is right and wrong. That's the meaning of the word nurture. Proverbs 22:15. Okay, parents, the Bible says, use the rod of correction. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Only way to get rid of this foolishness is, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. All right? So please understand, rod of correction will drive away the foolishness. That means nurture, discipline with the purpose of correcting a bad or wrong or sinful action. Don't just discipline and then the child doesn't know, what did I do wrong? So tell the child, this is not the way to behave. You don't scream, you don't shout, you don't misbehave. When somebody talks to you, you talk nicely. You don't throw tantrum. This is wrong. Pia. Do it. That's what the Bible says. Rod of correction. Rod of correction means rod of correction. Period. You don't do it, you pay the ultimate price. Thank God, in Singapore, we are allowed to use a rod of correction. Because our government also uses a rod of correction. But their rod is very big. So he's biggest in the whole country. Our home one is small. I know of one family, their rod of correction got different grades, different sizes, you know. And so the child sees it, the child's scared. The child is frightened. You know why God says use the rod of correction? Don't use your hand. Let the hand be the hand of love. Let the hand be the hand that will come home. Come home, son. Don't confuse the son. The hand is the rod. The hand is also the hand of love. They get confused. Don't use your hand. Use the rod. Let the child know the rod is the disciplinary stick. It is to correct you when you do wrong. This hand is always stretched out. You come back to mom and dad. That is the discipline. That's why God says, use the rod of correction. 23:13, Proverbs. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Okay? God meant it. This is literal. Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. You hold it back. You don't do it. You are done for. When the child is below maybe the age of what? 10? You have 100% influence over the child. The moment the child crosses into 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 years old, your influence may be shrink to 50%. By the time they cross into the year 18, your influence over them is maybe 5%. By the time they're 21, 0%. And you don't have a second try. You will make all the blunders and mistakes, and by the time you recognize and realize that you have failed your child number one, and you promise, I will not make the same mistakes in child number two, fine. So the child number two will gain all the blessings of right parenting. But that does not in any way diminish what you have done wrong in bringing up child number one. And child number one will permanently remind you, if God does not show grace and mercy to turn him around, he will consistently remind you of the years of your failure. Please bear this in mind. God tells us foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far away. You believe God's word? Withhold not correction. You hold correction back, then it is as good as signing the death sentence for your child. You want to do that? You start right now, sign the death sentence. I am now going to condemn my son, put down the name, to death. Do it. Because that's exactly what you are doing. If you don't correct your child, you keep on making excuses, you keep on not disciplining, you are sending your child to death. You know, sometimes when you read the book of Kings, and God chastises and disciplines the kings, and God said, one of the sins that you have committed is you offer your son, your firstborn, to Molech by pushing them into the fiery furnace. We read that portion, as if we will never do it. If it were me, I would never do it. But we are doing it all the time. When you push your child toward the world, is that not pushing them toward the fiery furnace of Molech? The Moabite gods? Isn't it the same? The difference is that they, when they push the child into the fiery furnace, it is very fast. You are doing it very slowly, but it's the same direction. They're going to be burned because they're going to die and their sin, and they're going to end up in the fiery furnace of hell. You want to do that? God has given you instruction. If you are a child of God, God has given you the Holy Spirit. And God says the Holy Spirit can fill you, to guide you, to help you, so that you will not blunder in shaping and molding this gift or gifts that God has given to you, so that you can bring them up and in the nurture and fear of the Lord. That's what God wants. Why do you want to destroy the life of your son, your daughter? Why do you despise them so much that you want to kill them in this way, such a slow, painful death, by pushing them in the direction of the world? You find the words very harsh? You can ask many of these parents where their children are all grown up and they're loving the world. All they can do is to put their names on the prayer list. That's all they can do. All they can do now is to beg God for mercy. When they look back at their own lives, they know and they recognize and they even admit their mistakes. They may ask God to forgive them, but that's all they could do. Can they, by asking God to forgive them, their child will now automatically come back and stop loving the world? It didn't happen. The child is still deeply entrenched in the things of the world that now the parents know are completely vanity. Yeah, they can get promotion, they can have overseas jobs, and they can have all the perks of an overseas employee, and they live in Shanghai, they live in all these fanciful big capital cities, and then what? All they now want is that the child will come back to the Lord and worship the Lord and serve God and pray and study God's word. They could have done all these when they were young. Now that they are grown up loving the world, all they can do is sometimes when they share, they cry. There's nothing they can do other than to beg God for mercy. They know that if nothing happens and turn the child around, they know that if something happens to them and they die, they know they're going to end up in hell. And they are scared. They are frightened. Your children are now at this age, some of you. Don't make the mistakes that many parents have made. Learn from their mistakes for the sake of your children, for the sake of Christ. You think bringing up children is just clothing them, feeding them? Then you are mistaken. Bringing up children is to bring them up. The word bring them up means bring them to maturity in the nurture. The nurture means disciplinary correction, tutorage, and guide them and point them in the direction of Christ. And then the word admonition means mild rebuke, because by this time they're already more grown up. All you can do now is mild rebuke, which will include encouragement at times and reproof at times, because the understanding is they're not grown up. That's all you can do now. But while they are much younger, the nurturing, the discipline in the right direction is needful. And you don't do it, you're going to miss the privilege. And once it's gone forever. And the child will be shaped and molded in whatever character that you have targeted them. And if your target is not that when they grow up to honor you and to obey you, you are done for. They are also done for. Do you want that to happen? Some of us are already experiencing it. Please, don't let that be your lot in life. Many of them are suffering back home, and there's nothing they can do because we have a Bible study in the afternoon for grandmothers and for mothers with grown-up children. And when they share their prayer items, sometimes it breaks your heart. You can only sit there and listen. Pray for this son, pray for this daughter. They are there, they are here. So we ask them, what do you want to pray for? Pray that they may come back to the Lord. Pray that they may be born again. What else? Pray that the Lord will protect them, preserve them. Why? So that they may not die in their sin and end up in hell, right? That's all. Don't go that pathway. Nurture and admonish them. God will be there to help you, to guide you, to make sure that you succeed. If you fail, you choose to fail. Please realize that. You don't have to fail. All of us can be victorious in our parent-child relationship. If we have grown-up children, it is still not too late. Fix it. Fix it right now. Not too late. I shared with you about this lady that we met, right? She and her husband, they communicate at home using email. Imagine, husband and wife, they don't talk, email. And then when the son graduated from the university, now have a girlfriend, she wanted to tell the son, please be very careful on who you marry and who you now want to date as your girlfriend. You know what he said to the mom? Mom, you are not qualified to tell me. When I look at you and dad, you have no right to tell me how to find a girlfriend. The mother just kept quiet, turned around, cried, and walked away. That's all she could do because she got nothing to say. The son was right. Of course, the son was wrong to say those words to her, disrespectful. But when she and her husband communicate through email, just imagine that. They can't talk to one another civilly. Do they pray? No. Read God's word? No. Do they go to church? Yeah, they go to a liberal church. They go to an ecumenical church. They were from Calvary Pandan. The older son still attends Calvary Pandan. And so she said, I want to talk to your pastor. That's me. You cannot. He's my pastor, not yours. So one day we were at Jurong Point Shopping Center, my wife and I was pushing the trolley after the groceries. I put the stuff into the trunk of the car. Then I saw this car driving. This lady was there. She waved at me. I waved at her. I don't know who she was. Because sometimes I just wave back. I really don't know who. Then I put my stuff. I parked the trolley. Then I went back into Jurong Point to have coffee with my wife. Then I queue up for the coffee. And I turned around. She was there. I said, hey, Reverend Craig, can I talk to you? I said, what about? I was from Calvary Pandan, and can I share with you? I said, my wife is there, can you please join her first while I buy coffee? Do you want coffee? She said she doesn't want. I did not know that that little meeting would last nearly 2 hours. We just sat there, and then she poured her heart out. I said, the first thing to do is you patch up your relationship with God. Come back to Pandan. Leave that liberal ecumenical church. And then you patch up your relationship with your husband. And then you pray hard for your son. Then you talk to your son. Because if you don't, you will continue to be morally disqualified. You know your son is right. Of course, he is rude. He cannot be rude to you. You should not say those things. But you know he is right. Those words that came out of his mouth. Then she cried. You want to end up that way? You bring up children? It's very easy. Pick up all these books that are out there on bringing up children. Don't discipline, don't use rod of correction because you're going to scar them for life and all this kind of psycho mumbo jumbo. Instead of God's word, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child. Rod of correction will drive it far away. You believe? If you don't, correct your child when they are young, they will die when they grow up. God is never wrong. Many people have challenged what God has revealed to us, and every one of them have paid the price, and they have been proven wrong. You are a child of God, this is God's word. You find it hard to do, pray for the filling of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will help you. As long as a child is still moldable, shapeable, not too late. Know God's word, study God's word. The book of Proverbs, wonderful. Today's children, read one chapter of Proverbs every day. For how long? Until you die. And it will protect you. Inside those chapters, you have protection. Beware of foolish women. It will guard you against all the foolish women. It's all in there. I have categorized all 31 chapters of the book of Proverbs. It took me nearly 8 to 10 years to do it. I categorized every one of them and tabulate them according to topics. And there are more than a few hundred topics. It's more than a few hundred pages long. I just tabulate them and then I just cut and paste all the necessary verses. So under this one, foolish woman, put down there. Foolish men, I put down there. Strange woman, I put down there. Categorize all the verses from the 31 books of Proverbs. Categorize them. So that when I want to look for foolish woman, strange woman, look at the topic and all the verses from the book of Proverbs, these are the warnings. Everyone. And you'll be so surprised that practically every facet of life is covered inside this one book of Proverbs. Many times over, more than enough instruction to help us to be the best businessman, to be the best husband, best wife, best father, best children, best whatever. It's all in there. One chapter, 31 chapters, right? One chapter a month. No, a day, I beg your pardon. True? 31 days a month, right? So read one chapter a day. For how long? Until the Lord calls you home. It will keep you in good stead. No joke. Do it. Parents, especially with young children, why don't you do it? One chapter a day of the book of Proverbs, so that you will learn instruction from God's word, how to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. That when they grow up, God promised us, they will not depart from the faith. Now, this is God's promise. Why won't you? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, bless us, O Lord, with thy truth. We pray, O Lord, for thy grace and thy mercy to bless every family in this church, in this camp. May thou be gracious and merciful, O Lord, to forgive us as parents for the many mistakes and blunders that we have made, for we acknowledge we are not perfect. We pray, Father, you'll be merciful to us and help us, O Lord, from henceforth to be godly mothers and fathers, to bring our children up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, especially for parents with young children. And for us who have grown up children, we pray, Father, that our children who have really learned God's word may find in the truth that they have been instilled all these many years that will keep them in good stead, that when they face the world, they will not succumb to the lure and temptations that this world will bombard them with. But with the fear of God in their hearts, may thou grant them the wisdom and the filling of the Spirit of God to make wise decisions, that they will grow up indeed to become men and women after God's own heart. Help all of us, O Lord, to pray one for another. For when we have godly families, we will have a godly church. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.